It's 7:45 here on Giant 90.9. And that can only mean one thing. Your host, Owen Pulley, is alongside Maxwell Gilley and Kyle Stout here in HD1 Studios. Kyle's here for the first time today. And it's time for the Sports Spotlight! Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of the Sports Spotlight here on Indy's Giant 90.9. My name is Owen Pulley. Max Gilley is here, and so is Kyle Stout. No Lucas McKee today, but Kyle is here making his debut episode.
Let's just say I'm honored, to say the least, to be on such a show.
Such a highly touted show.
It's been a dream
show.
Of mine since I was about 5 years old, be on such a show like this.
It was also a dream of mine since 5 years old to be on a show like this, only for today, even though I've been on it every single day. I specifically wrote down that on the 3rd of November I had to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you weren't here yesterday. I wasn't here yesterday. Mr. Easter wasn't here yesterday. Nobody was here yesterday. We're missing a couple people today, but we'll all make it work out.
Yeah.
WBDG is always undefeated. Remember that. But we're going to get right into it with the trade deadline. We're going to go over all of the trades and then talk about the ones that we think are really important and really influential of the NFL. So starting off with the Bills and the Falcons, Dean Marlowe, a safety, was traded to the Falcons for a seventh round. Excuse me. The Falcons traded Dean Marlowe to the Bills for a seventh round draft pick. The Falcons traded with the Chiefs. Atlanta received Rashad Fenton. And then the Kansas City Chiefs got a conditional 2023 seventh round draft pick. And we're going to get to the big one in Indianapolis right now, the Buffalo Bills and the Colts. The Indianapolis Colts made a trade. Buffalo gets Nyheim Hines, and the Colts get a running back in Zach Moss and a 2023 conditional fifth round draft pick. So it could be a fifth round, could be a sixth round.
Yeah. I like that trade a lot for both sides. I think the Bills need that receiving back. I don't think the Colts used Nyheim Hines as they could have.
Get a guy like Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, but Nyheim Hines has a ton of talent. We saw that, I think, 2020 season against the Titans. We see that, like, whenever they run counters with him when he was on the Colts, it worked to perfection. But I don't think they did that enough, and I think the Bills have a great running back room with him and Devin Singletary there.
I remember early in preseason, everyone was told, you have to draft Nyheim Hines to your fantasy. We're going to use him a lot here this year. Yeah, that didn't end up happening for the Colts, so I have no issue with the trade at all. I'm happy for him. He's on a contender now. And let's hopefully have this do something well for the Colts.
Yeah. I'm excited for the Zach Moss trade. I think that he'll be a good player, and I wish all the best for Nyheim. I did like him in Indianapolis, but now he's on a team with an elite level quarterback and a team that can win the Super Bowl this year. The Broncos get a defensive end of Jacob Martin and a 2024 fifth round draft pick, and they trade with the New York Jets and give the Jets a 2024 fourth round draft pick. The Dolphins get Jeff Wilson Jr., and they trade away to San Francisco a fifth-round pick. And this is an interesting pick here, or interesting pick, not pick, a trade here. Calvin Ridley, who got traded to the Jaguars after getting suspended for one season for betting against the Jaguars. Ridley goes to Jacksonville, and Atlanta will get a 2023 conditional fifth-round pick and a 2024 conditional second-round pick.
That's kind of bad news for the Colts, because the Colts, they didn't really, I mean, the Nyheim Hines trade, yeah, but they didn't really make any moves to upgrade their team. I think they're going more maybe rebuild-ish, not rebuild, maybe retooling with, you know, Sam Ellinger at quarterback, but the Jags continue to get better. I think, I mean, obviously they're not going to be good this year, they're not going to make the playoffs, but they're going to probably get a pretty good draft pick next year. You're going to have, what, third or fourth year, Trevor Lawrence, Calvin Ridley, Christian Kirk, Evan Engram on that offense, and Travis Etienne, who's now in the starting role there. So I think they have a very stellar offense for next year.
Travis Etienne is really the real deal, and more people will be seeing him as the Jacksonville Jaguars get better. This is going to be a good Jacksonville offense next year, and by the way the Colts are going, by next year they may have surpassed them just because we haven't really had that much improvement. So as long as the Colts can maybe do something well in the draft, I say Jacksonville's looking a lot better than the Colts in the future.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I want to see the Colts front office get better. And that starts really with your general manager. But up to that, that's Irsay. And that's Irsay's job. And Ian Rappaport talked about it before the Colts game against the Commanders, that Frank Reich is in good job security. His job security's fine.
And that's terrible.
Which, I mean, when you say Reich's job security is fine, you're essentially saying Ballard's is fine because they are seen as a package deal.
Yeah, and I feel like the firing of offensive coordinator Marcus Brady is kind of ridiculous because he didn't call plays.
Reich's the one who calls plays.
Why are you firing him if you don't like the play calling when you could fire Frank Reich, who calls the plays? That's what I don't get.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
But in other news, Bradley Chubb is heading to Miami in a big trade. So Miami will get Bradley Chubb in a 2025 fifth round pick. And Denver will get Chase Edmonds, a 2023 first-round draft pick, and a 2024 fourth-round draft pick. That's a big trade. I mean, Bradley Chubb's a good player, but Chase Edmonds is going over there to Denver. But Chase Edmonds, I mean, when you're going behind guys like Tyreek Hill, I mean, Hill's more of a wide receiver, but like, yeah. When you're still playing with guys offensively and like Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, yeah. And Raheem Mostert, I mean, you got a lot of offensive tools that Tua can use, and yeah.
I think that's a great trade for the Dolphins. I think they're a big sleeper pick in the AFC. I mean, they're not going to win the division over the Bills, but people forget before Tua was injured, they were 3-0. Even when Tua got injured in that Bengals game, they were in position to win that game, could have been 4-0. So, I mean, this Dolphins team is a very talented squad and can definitely make some noise in the playoffs as a wild card team.
I like this trade for both teams. We'll start with the Dolphins. It's great having an improving of that defense, because if you want to be competitive in this league, you have to have good defensive players. And Chubb is obviously one of those. And as for Denver, Edmonds, I think, can be very helpful for this Denver Broncos team.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, as a Denver Broncos fan, they are struggling right now. I mean, worse than the Colts right now as of today, as of 8 o'clock a.m., which it means you're listening to WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis, the Sports Spotlight, Indy's Giant 90.9. But the next trade we're going to talk about, it involves the Steelers and the Commanders. The Steelers will receive William Jackson III and a 2025 conditional seventh-round pick, and Washington will get a 2025 conditional sixth-round draft pick. But the big one next up is Chase Claypool, the Notre Dame alum, going to Chicago from the Steelers. The wide receiver and Pittsburgh will receive a 2023 second-round draft pick. That's a big trade. I mean,
I don't know. I think that's an overpay.
You think it's an overpay?
Because Chase Claypool, I mean, it's nice to get Justin Fields more weapons, but I look at Chase Claypool as a guy who's not top 35 in his position, and you're giving up a second-round pick for him. He's had, what, 3 touchdowns in 2 years, something like that, or the last 2 seasons. And, I mean, I don't know. I think he could be if you're building that offense up, he can be a great third option. But I don't know about a second-round pick. I feel like, especially in this next draft class, which is very stacked wide receiver wise, I feel like you could have gotten better talent for that second round pick than you would with Chase Claypool.
I was really hoping they were going to be able to develop him with the Steelers. I was thinking he could be there for a while, considering it seems like they've essentially been blowing up the team this year, and they haven't looked good at all. Losing Claypool won't be helpful at all, waiting for the second round pick for this year alone. So I guess when the Steelers play the Colts on Monday Night Football, get ready, because it's not going to be looking good at all. And it seems even worse now than it did to start the season.
Yeah,
once you think it won't get any worse, it just does. But the next trade, one of the first trades of the trade deadline day, was Roquan Smith. We'll talk about that in a second. But one of the first big trades was T.J. Hockenson to the Vikings in an intra-division game. trade, but TJ Hockenson to the Vikings and a 2023 fourth round draft pick, as well as a 2024 conditional fourth round draft pick. And Detroit will get a 2023 second round draft pick and the 2024 third round draft pick. That's a big trade there. I mean, going from Detroit to Minnesota, playing your own team twice a year now. TJ Hockenson is a tight end. He's going from a quarterback in Goff to a quarterback like Kirk Cousins. So this should be a good trade for Hockenson. Now, I'm not sure about the team. I mean, they did give up second and third round picks, but they got fourth round picks out of it and a conditional in 2024. The Vikings did. So pick-wise and player-wise, Minnesota won this trade. But on paper, do you think that they're going to take their 2023 second round pick and the 2024 third round pick in Detroit? Do you think that Detroit is going to draft well, or do you think it's just going to be another one of those Detroit syndrome like Jared Goff and Matt Stafford were, and Megatron and every Detroit player ever?
The name, the list is endless. Yeah. I think they've been pretty good drafting recently years. But the only thing I don't like about the trade, I think both sides around kind of won the trade with picks, and then obviously TJ Hockenson, such a talented player, already going to a loaded offense. Probably, I'd say, maybe the best offense in the league overall. But the thing I don't like about it is that it's an interdivision trade. If you're the Lions, you're going to have to play TJ Hockenson on the Vikings for years to come. So, I mean, it's not like you're trading a star player, but TJ Hockenson's a very above-average tight end. And I like what he can do with the Vikings. I think the Vikings are definitely Super Bowl contenders in the NFC now. I think before the season I said they would go 13-4, but now they just look even better with TJ Hockenson in that offense.
I was horribly wrong about the Vikings this year. I mean, they're 6-1. They've looked good. When you beat the Packers on week one, now I know the Packers haven't been looking that good right now, but that is a great way to start the season. They've looked good. By the way, the Lions game against the Vikings, it will be in Detroit on the 11th of December, so circle that one if you're TJ. But I'm excited to see what this Vikings team can look like with him. I haven't given up on Detroit. I don't know why. There's something about them that I feel like they can be not really big contenders, but I don't think they're going to be the worst team in the league within the next few seasons.
I think they have a lot of
great young kids.
And they don't have Jameson Williams back either, their first-round draft pick at wide receiver.
So I'm excited to see what can happen with the draft. I think they can draft well. I think this is a good group they have in Detroit that's running it this year.
But at the same time, we've seen it in years past. I know it's kind of a small sample size just by a quarterback, but think about the Jared Goff-Matt Stafford trade. 2018. I mean, Jared Goff was going to the Super Bowl with the Rams. Now, I know they didn't score a single touchdown in the Super Bowl. It was 13-3 against the Patriots. But, I mean, he was in the Super Bowl with the Rams. They go 1 year. That was in 2018. He gets traded in 2021 season to Detroit for Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford wins the Super Bowl in his first season. Now, I know it's L.A. They've got money. They've got players. They've got good draft picks. But at the same time, they were 0-9 last year, before 0-10 before they get their first win,
something like that. I mean, definitely going to get a quarterback in this draft, so
something like that.
They have some good quarterbacks that will be in the draft this way anyway, so that's a good thing.
I think they'll probably be good enough to, or bad enough, I mean, to get Bryce Young.
Yeah, they
or
have
Stroud,
Bryce Young, you know, CJ Stroud,
Hooker,
Hendon
Levis.
Hooker. Yeah, those are some big names there. Speaking of Hendon Hooker, Tennessee ranked number one after the AP poll dropped yesterday. But the final trade, the Ravens acquire linebacker Roquan Smith from the Chicago Bears. So the Ravens will get Roquan Smith, and Chicago will get linebacker A.J. Klein and a 2023 second-round draft pick and a 2023 fifth-round draft pick. So Chicago getting some picks as well as a linebacker for their linebacker of Roquan Smith.
I think the Ravens, with this trade, run away with the division. When we saw the Bengals get blown out on Monday Night Football by a Cleveland Browns team with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback, without Deshaun Watson. So I'm not too high on the Bengals right now. I still think they'll be like a wild card team, but I think the Ravens definitely win the division now. And the Ravens are honestly like most of their, all of their losses have been very close. So they could, they can compete with the big dogs in the AFC, like the Bills and whatnot. So I think they'll be pretty good there.
I'm excited to see what the Ravens can look like now with Roquan. They've already looked good. Adding one extra piece, you can't say anything bad about that trade. And like you said, they are going to run away from the division now. I mean, Cincinnati 4-4 on the year. They've looked okay. There's a reason why Baltimore's had all those close games.
Yeah, exactly. And Baltimore would probably only have one loss if they, because there's two games where they just choked the lead late. And I mean, as the season goes on, those errors are going to get fixed. So they'll be fine by playoff time.
Yeah, that, I mean, that trade could be big for both teams and the Bears. There, I think the Bears could win that trade possibly compared to the Ravens. They got picks out of it, and that could really help the Bears there. But that's going to do it for our first segment of the show. We're going to come back, talk a little bit about college football, go through the top 25 rankings, and then we're going to go to some MLB. But we're going to go to a quick break on the Sports Spotlight on NH Giant 90.9.
As an educator, Mr. Nelson's teachings are still being quoted in schools.
Education is the most powerful weapon you can use to change the world.
Mr. Nelson taught hope.
Everyone can rise above their circumstances if they are dedicated and passionate.
And giving our best efforts.
It's always impossible until it's done.
Mr. Nelson Mandela's teachings not only united a nation, they inspire us today. Inspiration. Pass it on from PassItOn.com.
Hi, this is Lonnie Walker from the San Antonio Spurs.
Every year, dogs suffer and die when they're left in parked cars in warm days. Heat strokes can occur quickly, even with the windows partially rolled down. On a 78 degree day, temperatures in a parked car can rapidly increase to 100 degrees. If you see a dog alone in a hot car, take down the car's information and call the authorities. You could save a life. For more ways to help animals, visit PETA.org.
Welcome back to the Sports Spotlight here on Indy's Giant 90.9. We're playing some country music, some Morgan Wallen intros today. But we got the top 25, the college football playoff. Now, I know the AP, I messed up earlier. Fact checkers got me. AP was ranked number one is Georgia. That's the AP poll. But the college football playoff, which is the one that's more important for the NCAA championship, the college football playoff, Tennessee is ranked number one, so that is, I messed up there. I was corrected by Max. Thank you, Max, for that. But we're going to get into it as of week 10. Tennessee number one, and they currently sit atop the NCAA Division I of football at number one and undefeated right now. And next up, the fellow undefeated team, Ohio State at number two. Georgia at number three and Clemson at number four. All undefeated teams in the top four. Then Michigan number five. Alabama number six. So those are your top six teams. Those are your best six teams, honestly. I think the seeds work well. I like it a lot. Tennessee obviously showing off their dominance this year. Ohio State beat Alabama 52-49 a couple weeks ago in that thriller game. Ohio State number two, like I said, they're playing really well this year. Georgia, 2021 college football playoff national champs. I think that they're good at number three. I think they could be interchangeable with Ohio State and Clemson number four.
I don't like Clemson number four. I think they won a close one at home against Syracuse. They haven't really, for me, they haven't had a convincing win to put them atop the top four. I'd like to have Michigan in there at number four. I'm really impressed by Michigan. I think they're getting kind of underrated. But two Big Ten teams aren't going to make the playoff. It's going to come down to an undefeated matchup between Ohio State and Michigan to determine who makes that. Tennessee at number one, I'm fine with that. I think most of their wins have been ranked wins, at least at the time. I mean, They beat Alabama at home. At the start of the season, they beat Pittsburgh. They beat a now number 10 ranked LSU, and they just blew Kentucky out of the waters last week. So that's four really quality wins there. And they had a win against Florida when they were ranked as well.
So if we're looking, I'm going to look at Clemson right now. I have their schedule pulled up. They had a close one against Wake Forest. They survived an NC State team that was 10 ranked at the time, but though their quarterback was out for that one.
Currently ranked number 22.
And then they would beat Syracuse. That's it. If Clemson should not be number four. They just have, and that's the ACC for you. It isn't that competitive as a conference. It's competitive within the conference, but in the grand scheme of things, the ACC is not that talented. Clemson takes on Notre Dame this week, and Notre Dame hasn't been looking good at all, but if it's a close one against Notre Dame, that's going to be a problem for Clemson.
Yeah, they did come off a win against Syracuse in the Carrier Dome, which I was not expecting at all. I thought since they were playing in the Carrier Dome that they were going to get a win there. Notre Dame was going to take a loss. That's the first loss that Syracuse has taken at home in Syracuse this season.
Where's the Clemson-Notre Dame game played at?
I believe it's here.
At Notre Dame?
At Notre Dame in South Bend.
That's going to be tough for Clemson. It's always tough playing South Bend.
To be fair, Marshall did win in South Bend.
But Notre Dame has looked a lot better recently.
That is true.
They started the season 0-2, and then I believe they're 5-3 now, so that's 5-1 in your past six games. That's, I mean,
you lost to Stanford, though.
Oh, yeah, you lost to Stanford, but you also got...
You lost to the trees.
Yeah, Stanford!
You also got wins against BYU and on the road against Syracuse, though. I'm not saying they're going to beat Clemson. I'm just thinking they're looking a whole lot better than they did at the start of the season. I mean, they're not going to be ranked, but they're going to get a bowl game, and you know they can make it competitive against Clemson.
I think, but going back to the college football playoff poll, I think that Michigan and Clemson could be interchangeable as of next week, depending on what happens. They definitely will be up there. I think that Clemson can drop down to sixth if they lose to Notre Dame. Alabama can move up to five. Michigan takes that four spot, moves up there. But in number seven, TCU. Number eight, Oregon. Nine, USC. Number 10, LSU. We mentioned them earlier. 11, Ole Miss. 12, UCLA. 13, Kansas State. 14, Utah?
Yep, the Utes.
I was looking at that logo. I thought it was Utah. Number 15, Penn State. Number 16, Illinois. Ranked for the first time ever.
Now, Illinois, I'm not saying they will, but if they win out and make the Big Ten championship, there's some, a storyline there because they only have that one loss to Indiana.
I was about to say, how in the world did Illinois lose to Indiana? Indiana has looked
I don't
garbage.
Know.
I know
that
it
was
week one.
And I watched this game. I don't really exactly remember. I think it came down to a bad call that game.
It was a close one.
It was
down
like a no
call
or something like that.
It was that one where he was in the end zone, but I think he was down. I think it was that one.
Yeah,
he
I know
in the
what
end
you're
zone.
About.
But
that's the
down.
Stuff that Illinois fans talk about. But that's a really impressive win for their program. They have not been good in football for years. So
yeah.
I mean, there's definitely a real chance they can make the Big Ten championship. And I'm not saying they're gonna win it, but you know.
And when it did say that they were ranked for the first time, I mean they were ranked in the college football playoff for the first time.
Yeah,
they have been ranked this season, but for the first time in team history since the college football playoff was invented, really.
Yeah.
They've been ranked. And number 17, UNC, that means North Carolina. Number 17, Max is shaking his head.
North Carolina is overrated each and every single year. I know that they are 7-1. They play a week schedule than Syracuse.
I mean, they started off undefeated. I think it was like 3-0 or 4-0. But they had like close wins against App State.
Appalachian State beat Texas A&M.
Texas A&M is 3-5 now.
Yeah, no disrespect towards them.
But, I mean, yeah, North Carolina has not looked good. They play a weak schedule, and when they actually play a good ranked team, they're going to get exposed pretty badly.
This happens every single
year,
though.
It happened with Sam Howell a ton. Like, they were... I think last year they started the season number 10 or something like that.
Yeah.
And then just got embarrassed by Notre Dame, I believe. So, I don't know.
Yeah. But number 18, Oklahoma State. Number 19, Tulane.
Tulane.
With another thing in common with Illinois. First time in college football playoff history that they have been ranked in the college football playoff poll.
Yeah, it's, so that's really cool for a small school like that to be ranked that high, especially in the CFP. Like, it happens a lot early season in the AP poll because AP poll just votes more on record, I feel like. But, like, CFP rankings are, you know, the committee sits down, has real talks about what rankings these football teams should have. So it's really cool that Tulane got in there, especially top 20.
Yeah, definitely. And number 20, Syracuse. That's been an interesting team this year to be ranked number 20. I mean, taking two losses in a row against Clemson and
I think the committee's kind of looking more past that Clemson loss because it was on the road and you only won by – or you only lost by like a touchdown,
six.
I believe. Six. So, and then, yeah, the Notre Dame loss wasn't good, but I think they're taking into account that that Clemson game could have gone either way. So.
And it came down to the final drive.
Yeah.
I mean, they threw one out of bounds that he caught on the receiver caught on the sideline, ended up getting hurt, and then rolled his ankle on it or something.
Yeah,
like that, and then they ended up struggling on that last play, couldn't get in the end zone.
Yep.
But number 21, Wake Forest. Number 22, NC State. Number 23, Oregon State, and another team, the third and final team of this that has been ranked for the first time in college football play. So three big teams. It's pretty big there to see Illinois, Tulane, and Oregon State for the first time to be ranked number 23. Yep. Oregon State, number 24 Texas, and number 25 UCF.
Why in the world have we ranked Texas? The only competitive teams they've played, they've lost each time. They lost to Alabama. They lost to Alabama. Yeah, week one.
In a close game.
Just to Oklahoma State. And they lost to Texas Tech in a close one.
Hey, they blew out Oklahoma.
No,
Oklahoma was
terrible.
I think that if Quinn Ewers stayed healthy the entire season, I think if they had Quinn Ewers against Alabama, they would have won that game.
Yeah, they definitely would have won.
And then that would have completely changed their season. They're a weird team to rank for me because, yeah, like you listed a lot of teams that they struggled with, or the competitive teams that they struggled with. But, I mean, their season could have gone so much different if they just had Quinn Ewers healthy the entire time.
I mean, against that Texas Tech team, Max, you're talking, I mean, Quinn Ewers came back and threw a pick, like, the first drive. So, it's one of those teams, like, they can be good, but at the same time, they can be really bad.
Oh, yeah, they're kind of weird. I want to go back to the number 7 overall team, I believe, TCU.
TCU.
I honestly think TCU makes the playoff.
Undefeated
if things
TCU.
Go right. Yeah, if they stay undefeated, they have – I know it's the Big 12, but, I mean, they have a ton of ranked wins, and they're winning games close, but they're still winning games. And I think an undefeated Big 12 champion has to make it unless – something is wild, because I don't think two Big Ten teams make it. I think two SEC teams will make it, and then you can throw in a Big 12 champion there who's undefeated. But they have to stay undefeated.
I was looking ahead at TCU's schedule. It doesn't get easier. The big thing is they have to beat Texas.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They play on Saturday the 12th at 7:30. If they want to make it, yes, on the road.
Oh, yeah.
If you win that, I think that secures a spot. If you win, you have to win out these four.
You also
have
to win the big. You can't lose. You have to win the Big 12 championship. But there's no way they don't get in if they're 13-0 with a conference champion. So
yeah. But moving back to the NFL, we do have a little bit of not breaking news. It's been out for an hour, but I am seeing this that outside linebacker Bradley Chubb, who just got traded to the Dolphins, is getting extended. And he just reached an agreement on a 5-year, $119 million dollar extension that includes $63.2 million guaranteed per sources. And, they did the deal in the past 2 days.
Yeah, Miami's building something special there. I mean, they bring in a guy in the offseason like Tyreek Hill. They're developing Jalen Waddle. You're bringing in a crucial piece of your defense in a 5-year deal at Bradley Chubb. So I think that Miami and Buffalo are going to compete for the AFC East for years to come.
I'm just so excited to see this Dolphins team. They're young. They look fun. It's really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and with that, we're going to go to a quick break. We're going to come back and review Game 3. Some history was made in Game 3, and Game 4 of the World Series is going to be played tonight. And the Phillies, Game 5, excuse me, game four was played last night. Sorry, game five is tonight, and the Phillies are wearing some nice uniforms tonight. They're wearing the
baby blues. Is it on the road?
They are in Philly.
I can never remember how the MLB
they go away. Go. So for home field advantage, if you have home field advantage, you go home, home, away, 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 home, home. So you get game one and game seven in there.
Yeah.
Which is why they do that. But we're going to go to a quick break and then come back previewing the World Series. Game five, right here on the Sports Spotlight on NJ 90.9.
We loved him in Family Ties. We cheered him in Teen Wolf. And we revered him in Back to the Future. Now, Michael J. Fox is back, encouraging fellow fighters of Parkinson's disease to take the future into their own hands. In his most spirited and courageous role ever, this inspirational screen icon vows never to give up until a cure is found. Optimism. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
I'm Nyheim Hines, professional football player. No matter the challenges I face every day in the NFL, my mom is always there for me, despite her own struggles with muscular dystrophy. And MDA is there for my mom. At their 150 care centers across the U.S., MDA is the leading organization in research and care for kids and adults with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and related neuromuscular diseases. Join me and learn more at helpmda.org today. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Sports Spotlight here on Indy's Giant 90.9. My name is Owen Poley alongside Max Gilley and Kyle Stout right here, Indy's Giant 90.9. Like I said, we're going to talk about the World Series. Game 4 was last night. The Astros tie it up 2-2 with a combined no-hitter. First time since 1956 thrown by Don Larsen was a perfect game in the World Series. So that's the first time since 1956. That was no hitter slash perfect game, a game where nobody got any hits has happened. So that's, we witnessed history.
I think it was four combined pitchers, right?
Yeah, yes, it was.
Four combined pitchers.
So that's really impressive. That's a win Houston needed. Tie the series up 2-2. I think this series goes to seven no matter what. But I still like the Phillies in this one.
I've been on Houston to win this. I said it was going to go to Game 7. I still think it will. But this has been a much more entertaining series than I thought it was going to be. So I've enjoyed it. And I know a lot of others have. And I didn't think I was going to enjoy it with Philly and Houston. Those aren't exactly my favorite teams to watch. But
I really like Philly.
To see how competitive it's been really fun.
Yeah, Christian, over to the pitching staff. Christian Javier went 6 innings, 0 hits, 0 earned, and 2 walks with 9 strikeouts. It's pretty big there. Brian Abreu pitched 1 inning with no hits, no earned, no walks with 3 strikeouts. So he struck out the side when he went in. Rafael Montero went 1 inning, 0 earned, 0 hits, 0 walks, and 1 K. And Ryan Presley went 1 inning, 0 hits, 0 earned, 1 walk, and 1 strikeout. So that's pretty big there. That 1 walk in the 9th, I watched it. There was Kyle Schwarber. I remember watching that in the 9th inning. I didn't watch a ton of the game, but it was pretty good there. Overall pitching staff, obviously, no hits with 9 innings thrown there. So that's pretty good for the Astros. The walks being Kyle Schwarber, Bryce Harper got walked, and Brandon Marsh got walked as well. So that's really all of game four for you. That's really all the stats I can really give you for the Phillies. Jose Altuve had a hit. Yordan Alvarez did as well. So did Alex Bregman. I mean, overall, a pretty good game. Yuli Gurriel had 2. But got to really talk about that pitching staff on the Astros.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if Houston will keep it up and win this series because they have – in recent years, struggled with NL East opponents. They lost in 7 to the Nationals a few years ago.
2019.
Then they lost to the Braves last year. And maybe they lose to the Phillies this year. So, I don't know. What's the guy's name? It's like Mattress Mac or something like
Mattress
that.
Mattress Mac, yeah.
Plays a massive
Bleacher Report posts him one more time, I'm going to delete all social media.
He has enough money.
I don't care right now about that. I want to watch the MLB.
He's going to make $75 million. We have to care,
obviously. That's too much money. I don't care. That's too much money.
I saw a bet before. It was like some crazy bet placed back in April. And I'm cheering for the Phillies in the series, but I wouldn't really be mad if the Astros won. Because of this reason, some guy placed a crazy bet where it was like he put $50 on the in April for the Astros to beat the Phillies in the World Series, and the payout's like over $100,000.
Yeah,
so that'd be cool to see some random dude just win that because of some bet he placed in April.
Yeah, that would be crazy to see there. But check out Game 5 tonight. The Phillies are wearing their baby blue uniforms. I love those uniforms so much. Not sure what the Astros are wearing, but the Phillies are wearing their baby blue. This is a perfect opportunity to wear that old school white with the stripes underneath, like the sunrise stripes for the Astros. If you know, you know. But check that out tonight. Fun fact, Philly and Houston will take on each other in Philadelphia for the World Series. But also, you can check out Thursday Night Football where Houston takes on Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's actually kind of crazy. That's kind of crazy.
So, yeah, pretty crazy there.
I think the Eagles win that game by 35 points, though.
Probably. They're going to 50 bomb them.
50 bomb?
No, they'll probably 40 bomb them.
Probably, honestly.
But yeah. Any closing statements, Max? Where can we find you on your other shows?
Well, I will be on the fly right here on Indy Shot 90.9 next at 8:30 to 9:15. School Talk will be this Friday at 7:30 a.m. Then I'm off the rails on Monday at 7:45. And real quick, good luck to the Pacers this weekend. They have a homestand against the Heat. Then they will be having the Pelicans, Nuggets, and Raptors return to town. So good luck to the Pacers. I'd love to see them win those four at home.
Yeah, I didn't really get to talk about them today, but Kyle, you're in your episode for the first time. Where are we going to see you on other shows?
Not today, but usually on Thursdays we do have the playbook with myself, Garrett Berkland, Landon Nelson. And then on Tuesdays we have Pass the Rock with myself, Rock, Riffitt, and Landon Nelson. And then you can catch me and Garrett Berkle on Indy's Giant 90.9 on Spotify for the Playbook podcast. So that's where you can find
You heard it here, voice. Folks. And basketball is underway. Girls basketball will take on Hamilton Southeastern on Saturday right here at Ben Davis. Excuse me, Fishers. They got moved. But 10 o'clock here will take on Fishers. They did move the game. So good luck to HSC, their girls volleyball team. Made it to state. They are playing in the state game on Saturday. So good luck to HSE Volleyball. Hopefully we're rooting for them here. I mean, they did change up basketball schedule, made it a little tough for us, but WBDG is always undefeated, so we're cheering on HSE. At least I am. Max, I don't know about you. You don't look like an HSE fan. But anyway, that's going to do it for the Sports Spotlight. My name is Owen Pulley, Max Gilley, and Kyle Stout here on Indy's Giant 90.9.